It's the Charmed Ones. Mine is Piper.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. I know I told you that the second episode would be Tony's introduction. However, there is a lot of things going on in my life right now, so I am unable to go and visit her in order to record an episode together. So I figured you guys would just have to settle for another episode of just me. I hope that's okay, and if it's not, too bad. So, Tony was telling me that she wants to do her introduction when we're together instead of doing it separately like I did mine, because she doesn't know how to do it separately. And I'm like, she's an amazing bitch. Like, she could do it. I have full faith. But she was like, one of the reasons why I don't think I can do it is because you said the podcast is just like about everything. Everything and nothing. And I'm like, yeah. And she's confused by that. And I figure some of you probably would be too. So let me try to explain it. I feel like if I put a label on this podcast of like, oh, it's going to be about books, or it's going to be about movies, or it's going to be about dating, or it's going to be about traumatic traumahoods, you know, I feel like I would feel pigeonholed into that category. And then even if I had a lot to say about the whatever subject it was, I feel like I would feel internally like I didn't have anything to say. And then I wouldn't say anything. And then no episodes would come out ever, because I feel I would be trapped by this definition of what this podcast has to be and what it has to be about. So the way I get around that for me is to just be like, well, it's about everything. So if I want to talk about Twilight today, which I do, I can. And then next time, if I want to talk about dating, I can. And then the next time, if I want to talk about movies, I can. And then the next time, if I want to talk about politics, I can. And nothing is going to stop me. So that was really my reasoning on why I said I wanted this podcast to be, you know, about everything and nothing. Because if it's not, I feel like it just will not go. Because I will literally get blocked. Like, I just will run out of something to say about one topic. And I really, really admire people that have whole podcasts about one TV show. Literally just one show that has, like, two or three seasons. And they, like, micro-dissect every single scene down to the second. Figure out what, oh, does this pencil that... does this mean something? I'm just like, I do not have the patience for that. I don't think I love any show enough to do that. And then I would really, for sure, if it was literally just about a single show and not just like shows in general, would for real lose my mind and be like, no, I have nothing to talk about. It's just not happening. So, and again, let's start a count. How many times have I said so unlike so far? A lot. I know. It's annoying. I'll try to stop. Anywho, that's the reason for it, and I hope you guys are down to jam, because everybody's always told me about anything I've ever tried to do, whether it was Instagram, whether it was YouTube, whether it was OnlyFans, whether it was this podcast, they were all just like, find your niche and stick to it. And I'm just like, but I hate that. Like, I don't like that. Why do we want to continually stick people in boxes and be like, oh, this is what's going to be successful for you? But so many people have so many different interests, like, that can really contradict each other. And it's just like, so you're telling me that that person that really likes witchy stuff, but is also a Christian, but is also really into books, but also really into movies, but also really into murder mysteries, has to listen to like 10 different podcasts instead of just letting one podcast hit on all of those different things, because not enough people are going to listen to it, because not enough people are into everything. I'm like, that's fine. You can go through the episodes once we start to get some and pick out the ones you want to listen to, the topics that you want to listen to. Like, that's perfectly fine. So I hate it. I don't know how to stop. Anywho, that was one of the reasons why I wanted the podcast to be this way, because I didn't want to pigeonhole, and then I want to give somebody an outlet who maybe likes all of the different things that I like, but doesn't want to have to listen to a dozen different podcasts like I don't want to have to listen to. So, that's basically the introduction for this episode, and I just bought Midnight Sun. The 13-year-old in me was quaking when she announced that she was finally releasing that book, and I definitely did pre-order it the day that she announced it because I am still that obsessed with Twilight. I cannot help it, and it ruins my life. And I got it the day after it released. I don't know why, but my shipping was delayed, but I got it and I read it in 3 days. So I'm ready to talk about it. I have a lot of feelings. The biggest issue, not the biggest issue, there's actually, if you as an adult go back and read Twilight and you don't take issue with half of it, not even half of it, most of that book, there's something wrong with you. Because first of all, the writing is not even that good. The plot is not that good. The characters are trash. The relationships are trash. But I still love it. Can I explain why? No. Is it more nostalgia than actual, like, it's good? Yeah. Is that going to stop me from making you listen to my thoughts on it today? No, it is not. So, the first thing I wanted to really talk about was Rosalie. Rosalie Hale, the baddest bitch in the world. So, I need to stop saying so. I never really vibed with her. Still don't. But the older you get, the more you kind of understand where she's coming from. Kind of, not really, because girl, I really don't understand your thought process, and I'm gonna explain why. So in Twilight, Edward explains Rosalie as being very, like, into her looks. And Bella just kind of accepts it, whatever. And then when Rosalie tells her that she's so against her turning into a vampire because, you know, you're gonna want kids. Like, you're gonna want kids. You're gonna want to grow old and get married and have a whole life. I wanted that. And I never got that. And now you're just gonna throw it away. And I'm so offended by that. Tell me she doesn't sound like a Karen. Tell me she does not sound like a Karen. Because, first of all, bitch, she was never gonna get that in her human life anyway. So I don't know why she's walking around all high and mighty, like if Carlo hadn't turned her, that's what she was gonna get. Cause she wasn't. So let me embarrass myself real quick, just for a second. I actually wrote a fan fiction one-shot story on a conversation I, for God wish, somebody would have had with Rosalie in one of the Twilight books, about how she needs to straighten herself the fuck out because it's getting annoying. It was basically in the story that I wrote, I was basically just laying out, like, if you think about it, so Rosalie was gang raped by her then fiance and some of his friends while they were drunk, right? And Carlisle finds her bleeding and dying and changes her because she's dying. That's the only way Carlisle has ever agreed to change anybody, was because they were dying. So you're gonna tell me that this bitch is resentful of her life being saved because she wanted to stay human. Okay, you didn't want to be a vampire. That's fine. You don't like it. That's fine. That's valid. However, you do not get to hold the fact that, oh, I wanted that perfect human life when your ass was never gonna get it in the first place. Because let's say for a second, just a second, let's say Carlo had not changed her. So she was just gonna die. That's not her getting her perfect human life. Like, she's just dead. Or let's say she did live. What was his name? Royce King? Is that what her fiance's name was? I don't know. I think it was. But I'm gonna just call him Royce, even if I'm wrong. So, even if she had lived, her parents are social climbers, you know. That's why she was marrying Royce, for the money, because he was the biggest. His family was the biggest family in their town, right? So you're telling me that she's going to wake up in a hospital having been raped, and then her parents are still going to expect him to marry him. So either she's going to say no and her parents are going to disown her, she's going to get kicked out and probably, like, end up homeless on the street and then probably still die. Or he's going to marry her, but he's going to be an abusive as hell husband to her and to her future kids. That's not the happy human life she wanted. So I'm just like, girl, you have spent how many years? Like 100, maybe 100, like, being sad about this human life that you missed out on. I'm like, bitch, if Carlisle didn't change you, you would be dead. Like, I don't understand what human life you think you're missing. Missing the human life that you wish you'd had is not the same as wishing you could be able to have a baby. Because I 100%, 100% believe that if she could have a baby that was hers and Emmett's and stay a vampire, this bitch would do it. She loves being so freaking pretty. She loves it. Like, that's one of the first things Edward says when he's in her thoughts in Midnight Sun, is talk about how she thinks she's the most beautiful person in the world. She takes great pleasure in how there's nobody else in the world who's as beautiful as her. I'm like, okay, bitch, so you're really expecting me to believe that you would trade that, knowing that that's how superficial you are, that you're gonna trade that for either just fucking dying or being homeless, basically, and disgraced, or being married to your fucking rapist who's going to continue to rape and abuse you? No. No. There's no way in hell Rosalie would have accepted any of those outcomes. And that's my fucking point. Like, why is this bitch so stuck up on, oh, Bella's gonna give away her humanity and she's not gonna get this perfect human life that I always wanted? I'm like, it's not about the human life, Rosalie. Admit it. It's not about the human life and the growing old. It's you want to have a kid. Just admit it. It's about having a baby and that's it. But these books were written in, like, what, 2008? Maybe 2000. I don't even know. It was 2000 something. I can't even. The movie might have been 2008. I don't know. Anyway. But it's the 21st century, right? Women are choosing not to have kids without any supernatural intervention. So you're telling me that this girl walks around and judging every single person, that every single grown woman that she sees that doesn't have a kid is like, oh, you can have a kid and I can't, and I'm judging you so bad and you're such a horrible person. You're telling me that she really walks around like that every day? You're telling me that that's what she does every day? That just doesn't seem, it doesn't compute. Am I the only one that's just like, it feels like it's more personal toward Bella than it is just about the having the baby thing? Because a lot of people can't have kids. Like, just point blank can't have them. And then other ones don't want them. And then other ones shouldn't have them. Like, I mean, there's so many reasons. So you're telling me that your whole issue with this girl is that you want her to live the perfect life that you didn't have. Okay, but you were never going to have that perfect life. The only thing you want is a kid. And maybe she can't have kids. You know, that would have been an interesting plot line. Being like, Rosalie was like, oh, you're just giving up your chance to have kids and I'm so jealous. And Bella being like, well, I was born without a fucking uterus, so I can't have kids anyway. You still hate me now? And then have Rosalie actually have to face that, oh, maybe it's not actually about that. Maybe I just fucking hate myself, you know? And then have her deal with her depression and anger and all of that. But no. Stephenie Meyer didn't want to do that. It's just, oh, let's just make her hate her for some dumb reason. Okay, sure. And then Stephenie Meyer was like, I'm not going to rewrite the rest of the series in Edward's point of view because it's too depressing. No, bitch, it's not too depressing. You just don't know how to flesh out all of your characters. You don't know how to explain every single one of their actions because Edward's a mind reader, right? So he gets everybody's thoughts and the actions of why they're doing them. He knows them to the core of who they are. This bitch cannot write people like that. She's proven it. We all know it. That's why she's not going to write the rest of the series in his point of view, because she knows she can't do it, like physically cannot do it. She was like, it'll be too depressing to write New Moon. Yes, it probably would be, but it would be so interesting. Like, you get the first book, the birthday party, the decision to leave, but then you actually get to see if the other members of the family tried to fight him on it, which would be so interesting to know in certainty if they actually did or if they just go along, which I never really understood. Like, who the fuck is Edward? Why are they just going along, especially like Alice and Esme, who already loved Bella? Like, why are y'all just going along with this, knowing it's gonna hurt her? For what reason? Like, who the fuck is Edward? I don't understand this family dynamic. Explain it to me, Stephenie. Explain it to me. But she's not going to. And then it would be super interesting to see him try to hunt down Victoria, but somehow not realizing that she's in Forks. Like, how is a vampire that can read minds, hunting somebody, but then not realizing she's on the other side of the world than him. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Explain it to me. Explain it to me, Stephanie. Give me New Moon from Edward's point of view and explain your shit. But she won't because she knows she can't. She can't. And I'm not even trying to be a bitch. It's just like, you can tell that that's the real reason why. Not because it's too depressing. It's because you know you cannot do it. And I would respect you a lot more if you would just come out and say that. But let me also tell y'all, Midnight Sun is so much better than Twilight. Like, I don't know what it is about Bella, but she doesn't seem like she's a very good narrator. She is just so... she's not as bland in the books as she is in the movies. But it's just like, there's so much self-doubt. So much... like, and Stephanie, I need you to explain to me, why does Bella refer to her dad consistently by his first name? Why? It's never explained. I just want to know why. Like, I can make the assumption that she does it because she lived with her mom most of her life and they lived, like, states away from Charlie. So maybe she just doesn't associate him that quickly with being her dad. But, like, that's still, it's, you could explain that. Like, why did Edward not ask her that? Like, oh, why do you call your dad Charlie? Like, because that's so disrespectful to, like, just always refer to your dad like that. And to, sometimes to his face. Like, she would sometimes call him Charlie to his face. Like, explain it to me. Make it make sense. But I will for sure say Midnight Sun is definitely better than Twilight. Edward is such a better narrator. And the Cullens' story of how their family got together, how the vampires work, how their dynamic works together is so much more interesting than Bella's little human life. Like, I am so much more interested in how Rosalie is just so freaking angry. She's angry all the time at everyone, at everything. And literally, when Bella figured out that Edward was a vampire, she was literally about to, like, rip his arm off and destroy his car and go on a freaking rampage. Like, Jasper and Rosalie planned on killing Bella when he saved her from getting hit by that van. Like, you would never know that from Twilight, but it's so interesting to know that that's the lengths they were gonna go to. And then Carlisle, they, in Midnight Sun, Edward makes him out to be such a man of peace. Like, he's such a man of peace. He doesn't want to fight anybody, doesn't like to get into arguments, doesn't like to do anything physical ever. Like, when James made up his mind to hunt Bella, Edward was like, well, we got to stop him and then we have to hunt him. Carlisle didn't want to do it. That's how much a man of peace he is. Like, he knew he had to because he had to protect this Bella's human life. But he was just like, but I don't want to hunt anybody because I'm just such a man of peace. And I'm like, you don't get that. You don't get it from Bella's point of view. And sure, whatever. It was a lot. If you didn't know what Bella was thinking, it would be a lot more frustrating reading just Edward's point of view, because then you don't get the feel of how much she loves him. Just like you don't get the feel in Twilight of how much he loves her. But you really get it in New Moon, this feel of how much Edward loves her. That because Bella's always doubted it a little bit in the Twilight books, you as the reader always doubt it a little bit. But reading New Moon, it's like, no, there was never a doubt. Like, this man is hardcore in love with her. And it's amazing to know that for such certainty and not have that lingering doubt that Bella does. Like, as the reader, I much prefer that from hers. Like, it's just, I just do. And then it's so much more interesting getting the backstories of how Alice and Jasper actually came to the family, like how they interacted when they came to the family. Like, it's just so much more interesting knowing that stuff than knowing that Bella doesn't like to listen to music. Like, first of all, you're a freak. Second of all, I didn't need to know that. And then there's so many things that are problematic about Twilight that I can't even get into all of them right now. But the relationships are definitely toxic. Like, I don't know how many times reading the book, Edward would do something so, like, unreasonable. Like, cutting her brakes in Eclipse so she couldn't go see Jacob, I swear to God, I would have screamed in his face and been like, I don't know who the fuck you think you are, but you're not my dad, and you can't tell me what to do. Like, it, seriously, she would argue with him sometimes, but only sometimes. But then other times, she would just let him control her, and that irks the nerve out of me, because it gave so many young girls this idea that that type of thing is okay. Like, oh, if your boyfriend doesn't like your friend that you're gonna go see, he can just unplug your brakes, make sure you can't go. Doesn't matter that you wanted to. Like, no, that's actually not okay. It's actually not. And then the whole imprinting with the wolf tribe, like, that's a whole other issue that is just not okay. And they try to explain it to make it okay, but, like, no, you're actually making it out to be grooming, which is just as bad. So, like, let's think of something else there, pal. And Stephanie has said she's going to write at least one more book that focuses on just Jacob and Renesmee. And I'm like, I'm going to read it because I just will not be able to stop myself. But at the same time, when you're reading problematic shit, you can still enjoy it as long as you also call that shit out. Like, don't just read it and be like, oh, okay, I'm uncomfy, and then just blow past it. Like, no, acknowledge that you're uncomfortable. Acknowledge why you're uncomfortable. Acknowledge that you are in the right to be uncomfortable, and then call it out. Whether you just say it to a family member, oh, this was really bad in this book. Get on Twitter. Tell Twitter all about it, my girl. Acknowledge it. Register it in your brain so that if you see it in real life, if it happens to you in relationships with other people, you know it's not okay. Don't let books or movies or TV shows give you a false reality of something being okay that is just not okay. Toxic behavior is not okay. Abusive behavior is not okay. Manipulation is not okay. Gaslighting is not okay, and you should not accept any of those things in any relationship in your life, whether it's family, friends, or romantic. And it's issues like this that I have with it, because authors nowadays are writing books geared towards younger people, but they're not taking the responsibility of making sure that their books are not perpetrating something that will hurt people later on in life. Because you can believe me or not believe me, but mass media, and that's mostly TV and movies, but also can be very popular hit books, majorly impact the way society views certain issues. Like, Breaking Dawn was hardcore a pro-life narrative. Hardcore. Definitely was. You can't convince me otherwise. It was a pro-life narrative, which, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but don't force it down other people's throats and don't invalidate other people's beliefs or opinions. And I think that's all for today's, not today's, but this is little mini episode without Tony. I've kind of run out of things I want to say about Twilight, because the only thing I really wanted to talk about was Rosalie and my main issue with her. And now that I've gotten that out, I think I'm done for the day. But I hope that I will be back with Tony soon to get some actual full-length episodes out about a lot of different things. We will see where it goes. And if not, you'll get another mini one, just me. Again, if you don't like it, I'm very sorry, but suck it up. So I will see you guys next time, and hopefully I will control my saying like, so, and we'll see. It's a learning curve. It's a learning curve.